Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do.
Dozens were killed when multiple bombs went off near Kabul's Hamid Karzai Airport Thursday.
We know that at least 13 U.S. service members were killed in the blast.
He claimed that on his watch, we have not lost any American troops. The lives of no American troops have been lost as long as he's been president. Obviously, that is not true. Apparently, he's already forgotten about the 13 American heroes who were lost with his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. These are their names, Mr. President. These are their names.
Marine Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover. Marine Sergeant Johanny Rosario Pichardo. Marine Sergeant Nicole G. Marine Corporal Hunter Lopez. Marine Corporal Dagan Page. Marine Corporal Humberto Sanchez. Marine Lance Corporal David Espinoza. Marine Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz. Marine Lance Corporal Riley McCollum. Marine Lance Corporal Dylan Marola. Marine Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui. Navy Petty Officer 3rd Class Maxton Soviak. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Knaus.
We will honor their memory.
We will honor their memory, and we are doing that today here on the Annie Fry Show. 3 years since the tragic Afghanistan withdrawal. And of course, we saw there at the beginning of that clip how Kamala Harris was very confidently the last person in the room, and she felt very comfortable with the way Afghanistan wrapped up. One of the main reasons I wanted to play that clip is Speaker Mike Johnson, whose voice you heard there, the male voice you heard in there, was highlighting Joe Biden in the debate so arrogantly and yet simultaneously, as is often the case, ignorantly, talking about not having lost any American lives. Where is Joe Biden today? What is he doing? What is the president? He's the president, folks. He is the guy. Where is he? What is he doing? Where's Kamala Harris? I saw where Donald Trump was. He was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at wreath laying ceremony for these members who were lost. And when I was watching that process this morning, which admittedly has more of an effect on me now that I've been to watch the changing of the guard, and I've been to Arlington, and I've seen the view out over Washington, D.C. from the steps with which Donald Trump stood with the loved ones of those who were lost who were being acknowledged with that wreath-laying ceremony. Man, that's a heavy lift for the heart and for the soul to stand there and take that in. And Donald Trump was there. Joe Biden wasn't. Kamala Harris wasn't. And you almost say to yourself, like, I guess they can't be, because the man who's the president of the United States at the debate when he essentially ended his candidacy for re-election so ridiculously stated that he hadn't lost any lives. Some of the gaslighting that takes place in campaigns and politics and stuff, it's super annoying, right? But then there are other times where the gaslighting, the lies and the deceit are so offensive and so raw, in the sense that they're just trying to say things that are going to somehow or another emit some sort of action out of you that supports that political party. What about these 13 that are lost? Fox News reports many conservatives have marked the 30th anniversary of the Dead Abbey Gate bombing that killed 13 Americans during the Biden administration's Afghanistan withdrawal by unearthing poorly aged comments by Vice President Kamala Harris. Monday marks 3 years since the August 26, 2021 suicide bombing at the airport, which killed 13 American service members and more than 100 Afghans. Islamic State terrorists claim responsibility for the attack. Roughly 4 months before the tragic terror attack, Harris talked about her role during a CNN interview in which she confirmed she was the last person in the room before Biden made the deadly decision to pull U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. We don't deal with honest brokers. We don't deal with honest people. We don't deal in truth. We deal solely in manipulable emotions that cause us to feel more than we think. And sometimes it's easy to do that. Other times it's not. Other times it's so patently offensive that they would believe you to be so stupid that this is the ultimate result, is that they can say things like Joe Biden said, that they can stand there and believe that they can peddle something so incredibly false as to say, no, I haven't lost any American lives. We remember them today. One of them is a child of ours, a St. Louisan. And we mourn Schmitz here locally, as well as the rest of them. The big news coming out of this past weekend, of course, we covered it live as it happened here. RFK Jr. not ending his campaign, but suspending his campaign. There's a lot of conversation surrounding the ultimate outcome of that, the fallout, if you will, the collateral damage. A lot is to be made about it. And if you consider the 2% or 3% or maybe 5% that he might be pulling in certain places, how that might help swing an election, it seems as though we are in a moment where this pivotal shuffling of the deck could lend itself to a dramatic shift in the support that goes into this November election. I am excited to talk to Joe Concha about that at 1:25 on the show. Steve Moore is going to join us at 1:05. So right at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, we got Steve Moore followed by Joe Concha. And I'm going to ask Steve Moore to talk to us a little bit about that, those terms, unrealized gains, and also price gouging. These two major economic plans that the left, led by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, are doubling down on. Are your retirement savings going to be taxed? If you inherit an estate from your loved one, is that going to be taxed into oblivion under a Harris-Walz administration? Steve Moore's watching all of these things closely. Of course, he is a economic advisor for Donald Trump. And he is going to talk to us about that at 1:05. And then we'll hear what Joe Concha has to say about the RFK Jr. announcement and endorsement of Donald Trump at 1:25. Let's listen to RFK Jr., who spoke with Shannon Bream this Sunday on Fox.
Have you all negotiated over or talked about a cabinet position, another position within a Trump government, in exchange for your endorsement?
No. There's been no commitments. But I met with President Trump, with his family, with his closer advisors, and we just made a general commitment that we were going to work together.
So RFK Jr. telling Shannon Bream there that there's no like super strongly negotiated, I'm going to do this and you're going to give me that and I'm going to get this role and I need this many roles to support this role and so on and so forth. They have common focus and goals, and they are going to work together on that. It is so refreshing to listen to RFK Jr. speak in his speech from Friday and talk about the fact that they have that RFK Jr. and Donald Trump have a lot of similar goals. And RFK Jr. said, I was kind of even shocked that they met with a common focus on much more than he really expected them to have. Now, there are also things that they have a dramatic departure from one another. But RFK Jr. said something that is not being as elevated in all of his remarks as much as some other ones that were also good. But he basically said, we see eye to eye on certain things, so we're going to focus on those things. We're going to come together on the things we agree on and try to make a positive difference. And we're not going to let the things we disagree on keep us from having conversations about where we can mutually benefit one another to make America great again, healthy again, whatever the case might be. And honestly, I think that's like the most common way of looking at things, but we've been put into a political society that is chock full of people who, should you be taking a photo with somebody else? Should you have a conversation with somebody else? Should you be discussing issues or progress with somebody else who doesn't appropriately align in all of the important ways? According to what? Some other judge, jury, and committee panel about, did you see they were talking to them? I mean, you become a pariah for just even suggesting that you might have a conversation with somebody who doesn't agree with you on other things. No wonder we don't get anything done. One of the things about Congress specifically is that it's supposed to move at a glacial pace. We're not supposed to have 538 members in Washington, D.C. that can just, with a snap, enact legislation and regulation on you with ease. There has to be a pretty significant consensus among all sorts of different people in order to actually make progress happen, which limits government, not you. The limitation and the regulation in that regard is put on the government structure so that they can't overgovern and overregulate and overlegislate you. Because you are at the top of this pyramid. There's the Constitution, and there's you, and then there's government. When you really put it in the lens of that way, it's like you should really have the focus that we should just come together. We should talk about the things that we all agree on so we can get those things done. But in 2024, if everybody obviously agrees on something, what ends up happening to that bill? A whole bunch of pork gets put into it. A whole bunch of other little things get put into it so that if you vote for one bill, they have something else in there that they can nefariously throw against you in a campaign ad that says, you voted against this. You're like, well, no, I actually voted for that, but you stuck that thing in at the bottom of the ninth. This is how they play the game. And RFK Jr. and Donald Trump are tearing the game apart. They are tearing it down. And I'm going to tell you this as well. There are going to be things that come out of this partnership, this idea of a unity government. There are going to be things that come out of this that you're not going to like. There are going to be policy positions that you're going to say, well, that's not conservative. This isn't about being conservative. The thing that Donald Trump has done the entire time that he has been living in the world of politics, the thing that he has done is challenged the system, is challenged the bureaucracy that stays the same no matter who the people choose to send into the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy swallows those people whole and spits them out when they're done with them. Just ask Joe Biden. What Donald Trump has done, and I'm pretty sure this is why they hate him so much, is that he doesn't go to Washington, D.C. to beat Democrats. He's going to Washington, D.C. to beat Washington, D.C. He's going to Washington, D.C. to bring the people back into the system. Because what the system does is it manipulates people like you and me to think that the fight is between the Democrats and the Republicans and blue and red, when, in fact, those blue and red Republican and Democrats get into Washington, D.C., they kind of get absorbed by the fabric and they become one. And then instead of working to preserve our freedoms, they work to preserve their legacy. And when Donald Trump goes to Washington, D.C. and changes the game and renames the opponent, they go, whoa, 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 what are you doing here? This is not how it works. And Donald Trump says it's how it works now. And RFK Jr. coming into this conversation is direct evidence that other people want a change. So I will remind you, hopefully for the next 4 years, when we're living in Donald Trump's America, I will remind you that the goal here is not to remake the Republican Party. We're not creating Reagan Republicans to where we're now Trump Republicans. We're making America great again. And an America that is great has a Republican Party, has a Democrat Party. It might have another party if RFK Jr. gets out of this what he hopes to in some of these states across the nation and gets 5% of the vote. Which means more voices at the table, which means more people, in theory, will be heard, because Washington, D.C., if Donald Trump is successful, Washington, D.C. will once again serve the American people, as opposed to the American people showing up every election cycle to serve Washington, D.C. And God willing, along the way, while he recalibrates that entire system, the Republican Party gets to think about who the Republican Party wants to be. Conservatives start thinking again about what it means to be fiscally conservative and not spending money you don't have that your grandchildren will have to make good on in the future if they should be given that opportunity. And the Democrat Party will also have the opportunity to decide if they want to be the Hamas-supporting party. They will have to be the party that decides whether or not they don't want to help the little guy. They just want to provide for the little guy, assuming that little guy just always wants the hand out, not the hand up. The Democrat Party will have to do as much soul searching in the future in a Donald Trump second term as the Republican Party will. And possibly once that's done, we will have a reshapen Democrat Party and Republican Party for Americans to consider, and a viable third party for the first time in our nation's history that actually is going to be a part of the conversation. And that'll be on RFK Jr. to determine if he can be successful or not. Understand who is trying to be defeated in this election. Harris is a representative. She's a puppet face for the left. They picked her. The party did. The people sure didn't. Donald Trump is trying to upend the system. And he's going to need people who don't see eye to eye with him on every policy 100% top to bottom in order to do it. And he's doing it. RFK Jr. is evidence of that. Our YouTube poll for today. An interesting question, because the answer to this question, there's a follow-up question, of course, naturally to it. But who is more unlikable, Trump or Harris? Who is more unlikable? And, you know, I think, of course, if you're a Republican, well, you're like, Harris is more unlikable. I want you to step back from your own political leanings on this and pay attention to who they are, how they have chosen to present themselves to the American people, and answer this question and let us know what you think. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you will see the YouTube live chat poll in. You bet it. You got it. The YouTube live chat. And go vote. Tell us what you think. Leave a comment if you so choose. Gary said, I said Harris is more unlikable. If you don't believe me, just ask one of over 90% of her staff that quit. That is a story that has continued throughout the course of her time. She has not had a good run with people who work for her. Let us know what you think. We'll be back with more on RFK Jr. when we come back. Don't go away.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the states where I would have been a spoiler, I'm going to get out. So it's about 10 states.
So 10 states, RFK Jr. is pulling his name off of the ticket. And, I think that the result of this, I was trying really hard on Friday to not get too excited. But Brad, I'm still as excited as I was Friday about the RFK Jr. news.
It's kind of a big deal. I mean, one of the measures that I use to figure out if I should be excited about something or how effective something is I'll look at how the other side is reacting to it.
How's that going?
And they got all the Kennedys they could to disavow RFK Jr. Everybody's like, it's not a big deal. It's not really. It doesn't matter. He's
like
kind of crazy.
It's not a big deal. I can't do Trump.
Oh, man.
But to me, like the idea that somehow or another Trump is, or Kennedy's family is going against him is just more to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And the other thing is, too, I am certain that I don't agree 100% politically with the rest of my family. That we have our differences, and that is completely normal. Rolling somebody's family out there to say we disagree with them doesn't in any way like ruin their opinion or anything like that. I mean, it really all it does is like you were saying, is it reinforces what RFK Jr. was saying, that this is kind of a cult and that when you leave the cult, they're going to come after you and they don't treat people fairly because if you're not in lockstep with what the people want to do, they're going to ruin you.
Well, when, let's see here, I'm looking through some polls right here and it's the realclearpolling.com reports that are coming in here. I've got the 270 to win map up for us to look at here. And the big questions are Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Virginia is one that I think is being under talked about. And that's just because Glenn Youngkin there has been doing the Lord's work cleaning those voter rolls. Was that a Youngkin story that you sent over the weekend about how many?
It was like, yeah, that was Youngkin, 80,000 or something like that.
It was like 80,000 dead people.
Yeah, something like that.
And maybe 6,000 or something illegal immigrants that were registered.
Registered voters on the Virginia rolls.
Now, if Pennsylvania doesn't clean up their act and Virginia is doing this type of stuff, I think that there could foreseeably be a situation where Pennsylvania goes blue and Virginia goes red and it doesn't matter. Polls based on, let's see, Sunday, August 25th. So this is a yesterday poll. Michigan, Trump versus Harris. Harris 48, Trump 46. So Harris plus 2. Mm-hmm. When you add in Kennedy and Cornel West and Jill Stein, Harris is up just 1. So in that instance, they're taking Harris out, and it looks as though it could be potentially helping Kamala Harris. Friday, Kennedy involved in a New Mexico poll. Harris is up plus 11. And when it's just the two of them facing off, it's Harris plus 10. So I don't know that New Mexico is really in a big conversation to switch, but I don't know what we're looking at going forward. Nationally, Trump is up, according to Rasmussen, as of last Thursday. So this is before the RFK Jr. Announcement. Trump was plus 3 nationally, according to Rasmussen. He was up just 2 when Kennedy is involved. And Kennedy has 4 points in that one. Harris 45, Trump 47, Kennedy 4. So in a poll where they're divided by 2 people, this is when RFK Jr. was still actively in the race, when they're divided by 2 points, Kennedy has 4. That is enormously consequential mm-hmm. for Kennedy to drop out for somebody, for somewhere. And if Kennedy is out there saying, hey, if you supported me and you're in a swing state, you need to vote for Trump. I can't imagine that the people who were very passionately interested in voting and supporting RFK Jr. are going to be like, I love everything you say, except that I'm not doing it. There are going to be some who do, because there are some who can't stomach Donald Trump, which kind of goes to our YouTube poll for today. Who is more unlikable, Trump or Harris? I think the unlikable part, that question is the question that RFK Jr. voters are asking themselves right now. Because the RFK Jr.'s that are going to go support Donald Trump dislike Kamala Harris to a greater degree, and the Democrat Party that she represents, which is probably a bigger portion of it.
Yeah, that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. It's like I think whenever Kamala Harris entered into the race, one of the things you saw was you saw RFK's support drop. He was in the 10s. 12s sometimes, and then Harris enters the race. Well, the people that really didn't like Donald Trump but also didn't like Joe Biden said, I can do Kamala Harris. I can roll with that. So they peeled off of RFK, and they're already in Harris's camp now. So it's like, who's left in the RFK camp? Those that really don't want Kamala Harris or Joe Biden.
Do you think that RFK Jr., I actually respect him a lot for this. He's not jumping into this Trump camp. It doesn't feel like he's doing it on Trump's terms. He's doing it on his own terms, which also in due fashion makes me respect Donald Trump even more for saying we need a bigger tent.
Mm-hmm.
We need more people in our tent. It's not like, hey, here's our tent, RFK Jr. folks, if you want to be a part of this, you just got to come in and fit where you can fit. It's all right, let's make some more room. Let's get a new space. Let's make that tent a little bit bigger so that people who look at RFK Jr. and what he really is, in my opinion, spotlighting the most broadly is the game, the swamp. It's all set up against the American individual. Most of what he's talking about is more health related with certainly with COVID, with vaccines, with the way we manage and operate food and big pharma and all that stuff. That's where he comes in large part. I don't think that any of that stuff is diametrically opposed to conservative value.
No, I wouldn't see how any of it is. I look at it, I go, this is, you know, I want healthy food. I want to make sure that there's not different chemicals in my food. I want to make sure that the FDA has the American people in mind, not the interest of pharma companies or anything like that. They look at this and they say, yeah, this drug is safe. Yeah, this drug is not safe. And it doesn't matter who is donating what or lobbying what to try to get things passed. I want things to be safe. Like, that's the core, one of the core functions of government is to ensure that the you know, quote unquote, the water's clean, to make sure that the stuff that we take in is safe. And
it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to just put some states here right now. The decideds, the blue states and the red states, according to 270 to win, which this is just frustrating the heck out of me. 270 to win, which takes the average polling and places red states and blue states essentially where they're going to fit in the most reasonably. Especially considering Georgia and Governor Kemp's words towards the end of the last week, in which really was an important story that got swallowed up by the RFK Jr. thing. Kemp came out and said, we got to do everything we can to make sure that Donald Trump wins. Like, there's no, we got no options. Mm-hmm. I'm doing everything I can do. And you got to do everything you need to do to make sure that he wins. Right now, with the polls as they are, Republicans have 235 electoral votes in red states and Democrats have 226 electoral votes in blue states. And if you make Georgia go red, that gets us up to 251. I feel much better about Georgia than I have felt about Georgia essentially ever since we've been talking about Donald Trump being in an election. And the fact that Georgia is somehow or another a swing state or a purple state is really agitating to me.
Well, it's wild because you look back to 2020 and you talk about Stacey Abrams against Governor Kemp, and it wasn't close. Kemp won pretty handily, but Donald Trump lost. So that Kemp endorsement, to me, that tells me that Kemp has a good ground game there, and he's going to throw that effort behind Donald Trump, and that actually might help get out the vote more. Like you were saying, I think it helps.
Kemp's support in Georgia has always been solid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to remember, this is the Stacey Abrams state. And Stacey Abrams being, like, the original election denier. Oh, I don't know. There have been many. But Stacey Abrams still thinks that she should be the governor of Georgia, and it's not the case. I mean, sorry, you lost. I mean, you just did. And I wouldn't consider myself to be an election denier as much as other people would, just because, of course, I'm a Republican. So if you put Georgia red, that goes to 251. So he needs 19 more. Where do you go? Do you think, I mean, Arizona looks like they won that Supreme Court 5-4 case. If you get Arizona, you're still not there. So it's Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. If you added Nevada, it doesn't get you there. You got to win Pennsylvania. If you could lose Arizona and win, you could just win Georgia and Pennsylvania. And you've got 270.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia is 13 electoral votes. Pennsylvania is 19. Georgia is 16. Arizona is 11. When you go up to the northern states, Michigan is 15. Wisconsin is 10. Minnesota is 10. Minnesota doesn't strike me as a state that is going to, especially with Tim Walz there, I feel like that is the only sense that was made of picking him as the vice president, except for I know a lot of people in Wisconsin and they hate that man. I mean, like, if you want to talk to people about Tim Walz, just go to a Minnesotan. I don't know. I'm running in these more conservative circles, and so I'm exposed to the people that are more on the right of the aisle. But they despise him. And I feel like when they talk about Tim Walz, I feel like we have this a kindred relationship with how I feel about my governor, J.B. Pritzker. But Georgia and Pennsylvania, that's where it's at. If either of these northern states, Michigan and Wisconsin specifically, my opinion is if Michigan or if Minnesota goes red, it's going to be a blowout.
Game over. Yeah.
Yes. I want to encourage you to consider the value of if we could get Michigan or Wisconsin in the Trump side, everything becomes much more doable, because if Pennsylvania goes blue, but Wisconsin goes red, and then you can get an Arizona and or a Nevada. I mean, if you get Georgia, Wisconsin and Arizona, 272.
Yep,
and you need 270 to win. So to me, it's like Pennsylvania it's not a must win, but everything becomes much more complicated if you lose it. Like if you get Pennsylvania, Trump's likely going to be the president. Georgia, I feel very good about that. But if you can pull a Michigan or a Wisconsin into the mix for Trump, then we will, in my opinion, be celebrating before we get to the West Coast.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, we'll basically know. This is what she said. We'll know fairly early on if this is going to be a slog or if this is going to be a blowout.
Go to Wisconsin and register people to vote. That's what you need to do. That's what I'm trying to do. I talked to some of the people at the Turning Point Action who are doing a Chase the Vote thing. I know that the RNC is doing Swamp the Vote. That's funny. When I talked to the people at Turning Point about following up with them, they said that they have like 10,000 requests in right now.
Holy cow.
And they have they're pushing through it so much to get everybody out and get everybody motivated. But people want to participate in the system. And I was very heartened by that. So get yourself that Turning Point Action app and sign up, Chase the Vote. You can do stuff from your house. You don't have to go to a swing state, but you can. I'm going to try. I hope the show is going to be able to participate in that. Lots of paths for the president, former president, to be able to win, but it's going to take everything. And as they continue to say, it's got to be too big to rig. Way too big to rig. Let's win all the states. Let's do a Mondale thing. All right, let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, he'll give us the Monday roundup, everything we missed over the weekend while we were obsessing over that RFK Jr. announcement. We'll find out what we missed from Wiggins when we come back. Don't go away.
Wiggins!
Oh! Monday roundup!
This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Here we go. You ready for the ride?
Maybe.
Here's everything you missed this weekend.
I'll let you know in the middle of it.
You know how people love celebrities?
Yes.
And you know how people hear celebrities like endorse somebody and they go, oh man, he just endorsed Kamala Harris. I love Kamala Harris now because I love that guy. Well, the list of celebrities that was at the DNC, Eva Longoria, Ben Stiller, Octavia Spencer, Oprah, Mindy Kaling, among others, John Legend, Stevie Wonder, Pink. They were all there to support Kamala Harris. So if you love celebrities, you might think, man, I'm loving Kamala Harris. But what do you do now that Zach Galifianakis on the other side is saying, it seemed like it was too much celebrities? He says, quote, as a small town guy from North Carolina, I do wish the DNC would step back from the celebrities a little bit, he told Variety. It works to a point, but they have to win over rural America. Hollywood thinks it's so important, and that's a problem. Actors are people, too, and they're citizens, too, but I'm more on the small town side of that than I am on the Hollywood side of that. That's just me. So if you support celebrities, what are you supposed to do? Because now you have two different sides of celebrities telling you that maybe celebrities aren't the way to vote.
It's almost as if they're people and they have different opinions.
It is almost as if. So, just wanted to let you know where Zach Galifianakis was in case you were wowed by the DNC last week.
This is everything we missed over the weekend?
That was everything you missed over the weekend.
That's the lead.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I almost led with this. Some weekends, there's a lot. This weekend, not quite as much. Do you think that the celebrity endorsement thing did get out of hand, though? Because I was thinking back to it and going, man, this thing was super glossy. It was very well done.
Are you talking about the DNC?
The DNC.
I honestly didn't see any celebrities. I mean, Oprah.
Aside from Oprah, you didn't see anybody.
Sean Astin.
Who else was there?
Sean Astin did one of the roll call things. So did Little John.
Yeah, but nobody knows who Sean Astin is.
Was Georgia, I think.
John Legend.
Oh, you mean at the actual DNC, not the video thing?
Little John. Yeah, Little John.
John Legend, I saw him.
You saw the roll call?
Not really.
That was maybe in clips, but it was Little John.
In clips.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm happy with Little John everything.
I know. It was fun.
Yeah.
But if that's all it was, in the moment, I was watching it thinking, man, this is really well done. But then I stepped away from it going, what exactly did I take from this?
Well, I mean, so what? They were there to entertain and they entertained.
Yes.
Okay, goodbye.
Yes. But if that was all it is, which is what my point, I feel like I didn't really learn anything because I would like to. And obviously I have a slant here. We all do. But I wanted to hear something of substance, even if it was just to criticize.
From Lil Jon?
No, not from Lil Jon, but from the whole DNC. And I
you
felt like
to
it
say,
was.
No.
That would have been fine. That would have been something
that
I could talk
so
about.
So awesome.
All right.
Get it.
Since that was the lead, you'll be amazed by the rest of these.
You have famously talked about how it's really important to set the bar low.
Yeah. You kind of gradually go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to lead with the biggest story. That's why when people tune into my show, they're like, just forget the beginning. Tune in at the end. We've talked about this theoretically, but it's here, you guys. Uber says that by next year, so that's not too far away, you will be able to hail a self-driving car for your rides. It's here. And by here, I mean the coasts. It probably won't be here in St. Louis. But in 2025, you will have the option to hail a cruise robo-taxi via the Uber app if your region supports it. I can't remember where we came down on this. Would you ride in a self-driving car?
What do you think?
I think you're a no.
I'm a hell no.
But I'm a yes.
I'm also not surprised.
I'm shocked.
I think that would be so fun. And I really hope we get to the point where self-driving cars are common, because you can just take a trip to Montana and sleep the whole night and wake up in a different state and you're on vacation.
Avon wants to know what you learned from Hulk Hogan at the RNC.
I learned the word brother.
Just now. Make America great again.
Yeah. I learned how to tear a shirt and how not to. Mm-hmm. He got caught about halfway through. So he pulled.
Is that all you learned?
Yeah, that's about it.
Because what I learned about him is that he loves the country and that he thinks that the country is not headed in the right direction. And the biggest thing about it was that he was quiet about it for a really long time because it was not in vogue for somebody of his stature and celebrity to come out and say, now, I actually think that this guy might have the right path and the right attitude about the future of the country. And I'm tired of being told to be quiet, so I'm not going to be quiet anymore. And then he ripped his shirt open and said, brother, and oh yeah, or something. Is he the oh yeah guy?
No, that's Randy Savage.
Yeah, Macho
so
Man.
Close to getting that right.
Yeah. If he had, that would be big news too. If Hulk Hogan had snapped into a Slim Jim, big news.
But I would say too, like to Avon's point, there's a broad understanding of what people get from a celebrity, substance or brother and shirt ripping.
Yeah, I didn't get a whole lot from the celebrities. But I also, the point is not that you get a lot out of the celebrities. The point is that they're fun and then you get substance elsewhere. I didn't get any substance elsewhere at the DNC is what I was saying. All right, next one. If you find yourself having a hard time following your favorite TV shows without subtitles, it might not be because there's anything wrong with your hearing. It might be because you have a little-known condition called auditory processing disorder, APD. About 5% of the population has this, where you hear information and you just have a hard time turning it into relevant brain waves that you can't really process the audio. I would think that if you're listening to the radio right now, probably not affecting you. But if you have family members, you might want to have a little grace for them because they have a harder time processing the audio than you do. There you go. Most important news from the weekend, from what was not a busy weekend.
RFK Jr. dropped out of the race on Friday. That's what sucked up the air, I guess. Steve Moore on Kamalanomics. I keep having to practice that word out loud. When we come back, unrealized gains, are those legit going to be taxed under a Harris ticket? Man, that's all you really need to know, isn't it? Steve Moore in a minute. Monday Roundup. Yeehaw!
You ready for the ride?
Maybe.
Here's everything you missed this weekend.
I'll let you know in the middle of it.
You know how people love celebrities?
Yes.
And you know how people hear celebrities like endorse somebody and they go, oh man, he just endorsed Kamala Harris. I love Kamala Harris now because I love that guy. Well, the list of celebrities that was at the DNC, Eva Longoria, Ben Stiller, Octavia Spencer, Oprah, Mindy Kaling, among others, John Legend, Stevie Wonder, Pink. They were all there to support Kamala Harris. So if you love celebrities, you might think, man, I'm loving Kamala Harris. But what do you do now that Zach Galifianakis on the other side is saying, it seemed like it was too much celebrities? He says, quote, as a small town guy from North Carolina, I do wish the DNC would step back from the celebrities a little bit, he told Variety. It works to a point, but they have to win over rural America. Hollywood thinks it's so important, and that's a problem. Actors are people, too, and they're citizens, too, but I'm more on the small town side of that than I am on the Hollywood side of that. That's just me. So if you support celebrities, what are you supposed to do? Because now you have two different sides of celebrities telling you that maybe celebrities aren't the way to vote.
It's almost as if they're people and they have different opinions.
It is almost as if. So, just wanted to let you know where Zach Galifianakis was in case you were wowed by the DNC last week.
This is everything we missed over the weekend?
That was everything you missed over the weekend.
That's the lead.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I almost led with this. Some weekends, there's a lot. This weekend, not quite as much. Do you think that the celebrity endorsement thing did get out of hand, though? Because I was thinking back to it and going, man, this thing was super glossy. It was very well done.
Are you talking about the DNC?
The DNC.
I honestly didn't see any celebrities. Oprah.
Aside from Oprah, you didn't see anybody.
Sean Astin.
Who else was there?
Sean Astin did one of the roll call things. So did Little John.
Yeah, but nobody knows who Sean Astin is.
Little John was Georgia, I think.
John Legend.
Oh, you mean at the actual DNC, not the video thing?
Little John. Yeah, Little John.
John Legend, I saw him.
You saw the roll call?
Not really.
That was maybe in clips, but it was Lil Jon.
In clips.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm happy with Lil Jon everything.
I know. It was fun.
Yeah.
But if that's all it was, in the moment, I was watching it thinking, man, this is really well done. But then I stepped away from it going, what exactly did I take from this?
Well, I mean, so what? They were there to entertain and they entertained.
Yes.
Okay, goodbye.
Yes. But if that was all it is, which is what my point, I feel like I didn't really learn anything because I would like to. And obviously, I have a slant here. We all do. But I wanted to hear something of substance, even if it was just to criticize.
From Lil Jon?
No, not from Lil Jon, but from the whole DNC. And I
you
felt like
to
it
say,
was.
No.
That would have been fine. That would have been something
that
would I could
have been
talk
so
about.
So awesome.
All right.
Get it.
Since that was the lead, you'll be amazed by the rest of these.
You have famously talked about how it's really important to set the bar low.
Yeah. You kind of gradually go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to lead with the biggest story. That's why when people tune into my show, they're like, just forget the beginning. Tune in at the end. we've talked about this theoretically, but it's here, you guys. Uber says that by next year, so that's not too far away, you will be able to hail a self-driving car for your rides. It's here. And by here, I mean the coasts. It probably won't be here in St. Louis. But in 2025, you will have the option to hail a cruise robo-taxi via the Uber app if your region supports it. I can't remember where we came down this. Would you ride in a self-driving car?
What do you think?
I think you're a no.
I'm a hell no.
But I'm a yes.
I'm also not surprised.
I'm shocked.
I think that would be so fun. And I really hope we get to the point where self-driving cars are common because you can just take a trip to Montana and sleep the whole night and wake up in a different state and you're on vacation.
Avon wants to know what you learned from Hulk Hogan at the RNC.
I learned the word brother.
Just now. Make America great again.
Yeah. I learned how to tear a shirt and how not to. Mm-hmm. He got caught about halfway through. So he pulled.
Is that all you learned?
Yeah, that's about it.
Because what I learned about him is that he loves the country and that he thinks that the country is not headed in the right direction. And the biggest thing about it was that he was quiet about it for a really long time because it was not in vogue for somebody of his stature and celebrity to come out and say, I actually think that this guy might have the right path and the right attitude about the future of the country. And I'm tired of being told to be quiet, so I'm not going to be quiet anymore. And then he ripped his shirt open and said, brother, and oh yeah, or something. Is he the oh yeah guy?
No, that's no. Randy Savage.
Yeah, Macho
so
Man.
Close to getting that right.
Yeah. If he had, that would be big news too. If Hulk Hogan had snapped into a Slim Jim, big news.
But I would say too, like to Avon's point, see, there's a broad understanding of what people get from a celebrity, substance or brother and shirt ripping.
Yeah, I didn't get a whole lot from the celebrities. But I also, the point is not that you get a lot out of the celebrities. The point is that they're fun and then you get substance elsewhere. I didn't get any substance elsewhere at the DNC is what I was saying. All right, next one. If you find yourself having a hard time following your favorite TV shows without subtitles, it might not be because there's anything wrong with your hearing. It might be because you have a little-known condition called auditory processing disorder, APD. About 5% of the population has this, where you hear information and you just have a hard time turning it into relevant brain waves. You can't really process the audio. I would think that if you're listening to the radio right now, probably not affecting you. But if you have family members, you might want to have a little grace for them because they have a harder time processing the audio than you do. There you go. Most important news from the weekend, from what was not a busy weekend.
RFK Jr. dropped out of the race on Friday. That's what sucked up the air, I guess. Steve Moore on Kamalanomics. I keep having to practice that word out loud. When we come back, unrealized gains, are those legit going to be taxed under a Harris ticket? Man, that's all you really need to know, isn't it? Steve Moore, in a minute.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.